when are people going to start seeing improvements? And if not seeing improvements in the school, start feeling improvements?
Well, we hope that people will start feeling, the teachers, the families, the staff, and most importantly, the children. We hope they'll start feeling that improvement, that sense of optimism and that hope that I spoke about very promptly. That's why some of the things that we talked about today, we hope will indicate the beginning of a turnaround. But I think in terms of the long-term trajectory, in terms of financial and in terms of academic assessment, that's going to take several years. It took us a while to get to this place. It's going to take us a while to get to a better place.
Haley Bull with Fox 59 CBS Sports. You talked about that 3-year transition period. What does that look like for students who are going to school day to day? Will they see any changes or anything different as that you guys move through that?
Well, so I outlined some of those changes today. We'll bring professional development liaisons into the schools promptly. We'll begin to look for opportunities to expand after school programs. We'll enlist our students to serve as mentors and volunteers. So they'll start to see some experience, some changes right away. But in terms of the long-term comprehensive plan, we don't want to develop it so quickly that we're not able to fully and fairly engage the community in the process. That's why we were gratified that the legislation gave us a 2-year period to develop that plan so that we can ensure meaningful community participation in the process.
And what do you say to those in the community, parents, community leaders who have spoken out against this step? What is your message to them today?
Well, the message is very simple. I respect their perspectives. I respect their views. But now we have to unite together. This is too important. I know that they have passion, they care greatly about their children, and we want to work with them to provide the best educational experiences for those children.
You never used the word takeover. Everyone else has used the word takeover. You stayed away from the word takeover.
Not everyone has used takeover. Some of the folks on your side of the camera have used takeover. But my word consistently has always been, this is a partnership. What we were seeking was an opportunity to partner with the community. If you go back to the first words I said back in January, this was a community-based initiative. Yes, and I think one of the individuals, one of the pastors who testified, referred to the university as a lead agent in a community transformation process. That's the way we see it, and that's the way we describe it.
Where do you want to be 2 and 3 years from now? What's the realistic goal for this partnership?
Well, it would be presumptuous for me to start to state those goals. As you saw in the presentation, as we know in the legislation, this new school board, in collaboration with the community, will develop a plan with metrics. So we'll see when that plan is developed and submitted publicly in 2 years, what those goals and metrics are.
Is this a little scary? You look at the numbers, academic numbers, financial numbers, enrollment numbers. Is this a little daunting? Is it a little scary?
It is a substantial challenge. Anyone who's being honest can recognize that this is a substantial challenge. But all you have to do is see the enthusiasm that I've seen in the community. When you see the kind of support that I outlined today, again, just 7 conversations produced nearly $3 million of support, more calls to come. I'm encouraged and inspired by the level of community participation. So is it a big task? Absolutely, but I think this community is up to it.
Eric Feldman with Channel 8. Can you talk about what the process was like after the State House didn't take this up? And then there was that uncertainty of whether there was going to be a special session, if they were going to take this up again. It seems like you guys did a lot of work in that interim. Can you talk about that process in that uncertain period?
So immediately after March 14th, I think we were disappointed. I was disappointed because I saw this, as I said today, as an historic opportunity for the community. So I was disappointed that perhaps this opportunity has passed us by. And then we just waited patiently. We did not do a lot of lobbying down in Indianapolis. We actually relied on people in the community who, prior to March 14th, had told us that they enthusiastically supported this. And so what we said to them is, if you want this to be on the agenda for the special session, you should reach out to the legislature. And that's apparently what they did. And that's what I believe turned around the governor's view and turned around the leadership view in the General Assembly. And so then when we heard that there was the possibility of it turning around, we reactivated our planning process. We put it on hold, frankly, for several weeks while we were waiting for an indication from the legislature that it would be on the agenda, and then we restarted our planning activities.
You talked about how teacher retention is something that's important. One issue that the district has faced is attracting new teachers. Are there steps you guys are going to take to try and bring in new teachers?
Well, we hope that the opportunity to participate in this historic transformation will attract ambitious teachers, educators who want to be part of an extraordinary journey. There's so much upside potential here. So we think this will provide a platform, will be attractive to teachers. We think it will be attractive to current teachers and staff, and we hope it will be attractive to new teachers.
Steve Lindell, WLBC Radio. When I was covering the special session on Monday, I spoke to Senator Doug Eckerty, and in his comments to me on the record, he said there were only two presidents of universities that he would feel comfortable with in trusting this kind of a new arrangement. One was Mitch Daniels, and one was Jeff Merns. What do you say to that?
Well, that's very kind of him to say that. I consider that a compliment. I've had an opportunity to meet with Senator Eckerty. In my first conversation with him back in January, when we had the first conversation about this opportunity, after about 15 minutes, he said, I don't really think that's a good idea. And then I had about another 15 minutes with him, and at the end of that next 15 minutes, he said, let's go for it.
The items that you offered teachers today, the pool of money for resources, I believe it was $50,000, the fact that their pay and benefits would remain the same for the next school year. Talk to teachers about those items and more.
Well, so we understood, we heard that this proposal, this legislation, was somehow an implicit criticism of the teachers and staff in Muncie Community Schools. Nothing could be further from the truth. Those women and men show up every day and have persevered in their commitment to these children under very difficult circumstances that they didn't create. And so we felt it was incumbent upon us right out of the gate to talk about our desire to retain those dedicated, qualified people. We need their continued commitment.
You're looking for a school board now. Who are you looking for people who are watching or listening? Who's your ideal candidate?
So we outlined those criteria. We outlined some of the minimum qualifications, but we also outlined those key attributes. People with a passion for public education, a passion for the Muncie Community Schools, people who have financial experience, people who have management experience, but also people who represent the diverse communities here in Muncie. We need a complementary group of leaders, irrespective of their profession, to support us in this important task.
Will you consider any current school board members?
Excuse me. We will certainly look at all of the applicants. I don't know whether any of the current school board members are interested, not had that conversation with any of them, so we'll see what kind of applications we receive.
I know that Muncie has declining enrollment, and for example, you've got two middle schools when one could suffice. I know that this is a long-term solution. Will you be looking at some of those unpopular solutions, especially for fiscal management?
That will be the responsibility of the new school board. And I think it's an important distinction to make that we will not directly manage the Muncie Community Schools. We will not make those decisions. We will appoint a very capable and courageous school board, and the members of that school board will make those very important decisions.